This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Willard and Dibbs are both out, so it's Grandy and Evan with you today here on 95.7 The Game. We're talking a lot of Giants, the craziness around Rafi Devers right now, led by Will Clark, plus just Devers' struggles in general, hitting 222 in 22 games with the Giants so far.
They did just take a series from the Phillies, right?
They did, two out of three.
Just want to make sure we're...
Although they lost 13-0 yesterday.
Yeah, so they lost the series in run differential.
Yeah, pretty easily, I would imagine.
All you got to do is win the game.
They won two out of three, although they... The second game that they won...
Philly's a bunch of stat patters. It is really what it comes down to.
Helping their plus-minus, the run differential.
You're going to pick on Alexander. You're going to pick on the back end of the bullpen, guys.
And Yaz. You're going to pick on Yaz when he gets out there to throw an inning.
Oh, that's right. he's made an appearance, what, each of the last couple years now?
Has he?
I thought he... Didn't he pitch last year?
I'll find that out for you.
Well,
I remember Brandon Crawford finally getting a chance to pitch in a game. He did that 2 years ago. Let's see.
17-7, the run differential in favor of the Phillies. And lost the series 2-1.
You're right. Yaz pitched an inning last year as well. Had nearly identical stat lines as yesterday. One inning, two hits, two runs, both earned. The only difference was he also walked three last year. He only walked one yesterday.
Well, he's worked on his command. So Melvin trusts him a lot more in these situations.
Let me ask you this. The question we threw out last segment, and you can weigh in at 888-957-9570. Whose bat are you more concerned about, Willy Adames or Rafael Devers? And our fearless producer, or as Philmo Mike called him, the vice president of hate, Lucas Alexander.
That's put a little
that,
strong.
Put that, I'm going to keep calling him that.
Lucas, though. The vice president of hate.
There we go. he put that poll out on Twitter. Again, whose bat are you more concerned about, Willy Adames or Rafael Devers? Are you surprised, Evan, to learn that the early returns have a 73% 73% of voters are more concerned about Devers than Willy Adames?
I'm not. And I think it's partially because of what you said earlier, which was like the fall off between the hitter that he was in Boston and then he literally dons a Giants jersey and has now become is pretty drastic.
Yeah.
And the OPS is like a 200-point drop. It's been wild.
Yeah, in Boston this year, his OPS was 905, and now it's 706 with the Giants.
I think it comes down to expectations. And that poll actually, I think, is enlightening because I was under the impression that people had very high expectations for Willy Adames, like what he did last year level of expectation, which to me was that's far too difficult to replicate. Like 30 homers, 100 RBI, yeah, playing a decent shortstop. That's not the guy you're going to get. But I think fans, I got to give him credit. They knew that he was going to be good and is starting to come around, but that player that we saw in Milwaukee last year is probably not going to happen.
It's pretty crazy. In my opinion, I don't necessarily blame anybody for voting Devers, but it's pretty crazy just how, and you can head on to our Twitter page at 957thegame to vote in this poll yourself. It's pretty crazy how quick the public opinion has shifted, though, because you asked the same question, say, a week into Devers' time, and even a week into Devers' time, he was still, you know, quote-unquote struggling, like it wasn't great a week in either, and the poll would have been like 90% of people voting were more concerned about Adames. It has changed so quickly, and part of that is Adames has played a lot better of late, and Devers has continued to struggle, of course, but the fact that we're at a situation where three-quarters of the population, at least that are voting in our poll, is more concerned about Devers, that just goes to show how bad it's been. Because Devers is legitimately has been one of the best, most consistent hitters in baseball for like a five-year stretch. He was over 500 slugging percentage each of the last 4 years. I think the only hitters to do that are Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, and Rafi Devers over the course of the last four full seasons of baseball. Like, he is not on the level of Ohtani and Judge, but in terms of like the best hitters for power, extra base power, he's up there with the best of them. So the fact that it has dropped off as much as it has and the public opinion has swayed as much as it has, this has been a gigantic disappointment. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like, but I don't think that the sample size is insignificant. You know, it's an eighth of the season. Like, he's been a 220 hitter for an eighth of the season. In NBA terms, that would be 10 games. Like, if a guy on the Warriors, and it unfortunately happened this year, was shooting 20% from three for 10 games, we would be wondering what the hell's going on.
Happened multiple times.
Especially if you just acquired that player. You know, they're not the same level of caliber, but like, when Dennis Schroeder got here and was not very good for the first 10 games of his tenure, people were like, what is going on? Why did you trade for this guy? The difference is the Warriors didn't acquire Dennis Schroeder, who had been had a great resume, and they also didn't get him for 8 years. You know, and so it's a bad first impression for Devers, but the beauty is you got a lot of time to correct. And again, I do think that this series is a big one for him, the biggest out of any player on the Giants, because if you have a big series against your rival, I think Giants fans, you'll be able to win them back. Like, if Devers goes out and over three games goes 5-for-12 with a couple of home runs, a double, and three walks, and helps them take 2 of 3, or even maybe just win a game against the Dodgers because they're a damn good club. Like, I think that will calm a lot of concerns.
Let me ask you this. So just to officially get your answer to the question, more concerned about Devers or Adames? You're more concerned about Devers.
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm there with you. Let me ask you this question on top of it. Adames this year as a Giant is hitting .222. Devers this year as a Giant is hitting .225. Who finishes the year with a better batting average?
Devers.
I'm with you. So the reason why we're more concerned about Devers has more to do with the expectation and what we were hoping to get from him. And now he should be the torchbearer for the lineup, not necessarily Adames. Adames is a big part of it, but Devers, is, in our mind, was the piece that was going to make it all go.
If you're telling me that Adames and Devers are hitting the exact same, we have a massive problem. And I don't even mean like at 220, just like just in general.
If they're both hitting 240.
If Willie was hitting 250 right now with a 800 OPS, and Adames was hitting 250 with an 800 OPS, which are both fine, I would say Devers isn't really carrying his weight.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of weight. But that's a guy that should be your best hitter. And he has not come close to being their best hitter during the stretch. And I think it's a reason why they've been, again, just circling around this 500 mark since he's gotten here.
But I do also have belief that Devers is going to turn it around. Now, maybe he doesn't hit up to the level that he has almost every single other year of his career. Like, we're talking about career 856 OPS. Anything above 800 is really, really good. 900 is, like, amazing. He's a career 278 hitter. He's a career 507 slugging percentage. Maybe the end-of-season numbers with the Giants don't quite meet that mark, but I think we're going to look back at it at the end of the year and say, well, all right, that's still probably the best hitter in the Giants lineup. The problem is, through 22 games, it has been pretty bad, and the Giants are looking at a race that might come down to the final couple of days of the season, and there's a chance you look back at this 22-game stretch for Devers and say, if only he could have put it together a little bit sooner, might be the difference in winning a couple of games, and maybe that's the difference in a playoff spot.
It could be. You know, and that's, I think, part of it, too, the disappointment with the early returns, right? It's, I think we knew that the Giants were a team that could acquire a wild card spot before Devers got here.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the guy that put them in the category of challenging for the division or being a surefire wild card team, which they haven't really been. They've kind of been the same team. And so it's like, all right, we got this guy who we owe $280 million to, and he hasn't immediately changed this franchise. Like, look back at, you and I, well, I don't know if we agreed on this, but before the Devers deal, the biggest trade acquisition for the Giants by position player was like Beltran, right?
Yeah, Beltran, 2011.
And people look back on it that is, it wasn't a good trade because he gave up Wheeler. You go look at Beltran's numbers, like Beltran hit pretty well.
He was great. Got hurt, missed a couple weeks, I think. But he was great when he played.
Exactly.
And then he left.
But that trade was a loss because of what you gave up, not because of the return you've got from the player.
And because you missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
And not, it wasn't his fault that you missed the playoffs.
But with Devers, you obviously got him for a lot longer. So my point is, like, the numbers and why he isn't hitting is the biggest question that people are trying to figure out. And up until this recent, you know, 5 out of 7 or 6 out of 8 stretch that they're going through, I think the question that nobody has the answer to is, like, how do you get a better player in here and your team gets worse?
Oh, I got a problem with the text that just came in on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. The 925, a couple of things. I got to read both of these from the same number at the 925. And appreciate you tuning in and weighing in. And you can always do so at 888-957-9570. Again, on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line, the 925 writes, weight and fitness issues, and they didn't vet that? Come on now, they had this experience with Panda and made the same mistake. Entirely different situations. And the 925 also says, the bigger problem is Buster Posey said the trade was in the process for weeks, so he did a poor job watching his film. 925, I'd ask you, did you watch his film? You know what he was hitting in Boston this year before the trade went down? His OPS is over 900 in Boston this year. That would have been a career high since 2019 when he led the league with 54 doubles and drove in 115 runs. He was amazing in Boston this year, and everything he did in Boston this year suggested he was worth everything the Giants gave up to get him.
Yeah, and by the way, the numbers that you're looking at that he hit in Boston was after starting 0 for 19 with 16 strikeouts.
Yes.
So he kind of had to dig himself out of a hole. No, I'm with you. But this is where I guess I'll meet the 925 kind, not halfway, maybe like a quarter of the way.
Okay.
If we learn, and this is down the line, that Devers doesn't want to play first, or some of the things that have been rumored about him come to light, that is on Buster Posey. That's on him. Because you should have known. And if you did know, you shouldn't have been selling us this bill of goods that he's a completely changed man and is willing to do things ahead of time. Like, you should have said, hey, we're going to get this bat in here. We wanted a DH, and that's all we need from him. But everything that's been sold so far is that, well, Rafi's still he's a really good teammate. He's willing to do whatever he needs for the team, and he's eventually going to play first base. But if that doesn't happen, that absolutely is on Buster Posey.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. So you mentioned Rafi's start when he went hitless in what, his first 15, I think it's actually his first, you're right, 19. 19 at-bats, and he had 7, 10, 15 strikeouts. That's absolutely incredible in his first five games. The rest of his time in Boston this year, so after the first five games, but before he got traded, that's a 68-game sample. When he hit 292 with 15 home runs and 57 RBIs, and his OPS was 960. So, yeah, you watch the film of Devers before the trade went down, you're seeing one of the best hitters in all of baseball.
I mean, his last hit as a Red Sox was a home run.
You know, it's the Yankees.
Yeah, that's what made it all the more perplexing. But obviously, there's some stuff that was kind of irreplicable or irreparable with their relationship.
No doubt. Now, there are some concerns as you like advance this beyond this year, beyond next year, maybe even beyond 2027. You're going to get to a point on the Giants where, one, you expect Bryce Eldridge to come up and own first base for the foreseeable future, and if that doesn't work, then you have that problem in and of itself. But let's just assume that it does work and he is your first baseman for like a decade whenever he comes up. You're going to have Devers playing DH. You're going to have an aging Willy Adames, who maybe at a certain point would become better as a DH. You're going to have a lot of guys that you're going to want to play DH, and there's only one DH. Like that is a concern a few years down the road.
Well, again, that's why, like, when they made this deal, I know it was a slam dunk, but like there are consequences to every move that you make, and I'm not just talking about shipping off arms and like the guys in the deal. That's fine. Tibbs might become something, whatever. But what you do to your team is when you acquire any DH, you create a logjam at that position. The Giants basically have to construct their lineup like an NL team before DHs, because that spot's already taken.
Yep.
Everybody has to play a position. And I know that, you know, obviously you're not hitting a pitcher there, but this is also a team that has some guys that are going to age very soon, that are under a contract for a long time. You know who else in a couple of years might need a day off? Matt Chapman. You look around the infield, Adames, sure. If Flores is here in the future, I don't think he will,
probably
because
not.
He's a free agent. But like, you can't just, when Eldridge comes up, he's going to play first, but what if he's not a very good first baseman? He hasn't played it a whole lot.
Yeah,
you like Devers is a good move. He should help you, but he adds constraints to the rest of your offense that when he's hitting, you don't care about.
You can live with.
But when he's going through cold stretches, you just have to live with.
And you hope that he ends that cold stretch soon. Maybe he does it right before the All-Star break and he has a good series versus the Dodgers.
He's going to hit a home run this series.
Lock it up?
Yeah, you can book
his
that.
His first home run since June 26th.
Since the Marlins.
You heard it here
he
first.
He only hits home runs at home, people.
Yeah, he had. That's kind of crazy. He's hit two home runs in 22 games. None have been on the road.
He's also only hit two. But yeah.
But, I mean, that was a trip to Arizona. He was in Sacramento. Chicago White Sox, not necessarily an amazing hitter's park, but, I mean, Arizona and Sacramento, those are two of the better hitter's parks in the game.
Well, everyone else hit, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, they won that series
against
Sacramento. 7-2, 6-2, the final two scores of that series. But from one concern, Rafi Devers, however concerned you are, to another, the Giants lost again in a Justin Verlander game yesterday. He didn't pitch particularly bad. In fact, I thought he was really good, but he still gets the loss. He's now 0-7, Evan, with a 4.70 ERA. The Giants are 4-11 in his 15 starts so far this year. Giants have a Verlander problem. You concerned about Verlander the rest of the year?
What are you expecting from him the rest of the season?
To be your fourth starter?
Well, I thought they paid him to be their third.
Yeah, Landon Roop's been better than I was expecting. I'm comfortable putting Landon Roop in the three spot now.
And Landon Roop is coming up on his innings.
He is. But until he shows me reason to not believe, I'll keep believing.
I think the Giants have problems with the three starters not named Robbie Ray and Logan Webb, all for different reasons. Verlander, yeah, when he's on the mound, I think he's fine, but he's 42, and he's already been on the IL once this year. Roop is young. He has one good pitch. That concerns me a little bit. And then Birdsong doesn't throw strikes, even though he has better stuff than Roop. But you have two guys who are young. You have one guy who's as old as God. And
as old as God.
By baseball standards, yes. And he might be one of the oldest players in baseball, 42. Not the oldest. But Justin Verlander, yeah, I get that people aren't concerned.
I think people are concerned.
Really?
I think so.
Well, maybe just people at this station aren't too worried about him. I am. And it's because he's been fine, but he's not even close to the Verlander of a couple of years ago in 2022.
He was amazing.
Yeah, but he was 39 then. Like, he's still old. And I also think he's injury prone.
So your concern is less necessarily about like how he actually pitches when he's out there, and more so you are fearful he might not be out there all the time, and maybe he's asked at a certain point to be your third best starter when Landon Roop eventually falls back to earth?
Yeah, my concern is that the Giants are too reliant on Justin Verlander or two guys who have never pitched a full season before.
I hear you. If he's your fourth, and you tell me that Landon Roop maybe doesn't pitch as good as he has for the rest of the year, but there's not a major fall off, and Verlander is just what he has been so far this year, the rest of the year, as your fourth starter, I can live with that, honestly. I think I can. But the concerning point comes if Landon Roop falls off the table, then what happens? Because Verlander going out there every fifth day as your number three, and you're 4-11 in his 15 starts, that just puts all the more pressure on Webb and Ray to win every single game.
Yeah, and I actually am not too worried about either of them. Webb's done awesome since he's gotten the majors, and Ray, I think he's looked really good. And I don't have a concern that he's going to fall off like just dramatically. The Verlander thing, though, is interesting because yesterday he threw well. What a quality start.
Yeah, gave up four runs, but only two were earned.
So quality
in six
start.
Innings.
Yeah, so yeah. Quality start. If he indeed, after the game, is correct that he found a mechanical flaw that he corrected, and that's why he threw as well as he did, there might be something there. But Verlander, and I know a lot of people always look at like the fastball, but I would encourage you when you watch him to watch what he does with his off-speed stuff. Like, the difference between Verlander being a Cy Young Award winner and a guy with a 5 ERA, to me, is not about his velocity. It's about his slider and his curveball. And yesterday, both of them were really good. Where he locates them, if he's able to get in on the hands of lefties, like, he made Schwarber look pretty paltry yesterday. And Schwarber's a damn good hitter, especially against righties. He feasts on right-handed pitchers, particularly guys that throw four-seam fastballs and are high velocity. Verlander burned him a couple times because he was able to pitch inside with his off-speed stuff. So when Verlander is commanding his slider and his curveball like he did yesterday, he's really good. That's why I think he hasn't been good this season, is because he hasn't had either of those two pitches. Mm. People are hitting, I think, 260 against his slider. This year overall, people are hitting 385 against his curveball. His fastball's been fine, but it's not just about the velocity. So if he indeed found a mechanical flaw and corrected it, then we might have something there, and then it's just about him staying on the mound. But I guess I'm going to need to see him do that a couple more times and really watch how he throws his off-speed stuff before I say that I'm not worried about him anymore.
Well, we can hear Verlander talk about his mechanical flaw that he thinks he might have found an answer to post-game yesterday. We can hear that when we come back. Plus, we do got to shift gears and get into some basketball. There's some Warriors-specific stuff that you got to hear and we got to let you know about. Plus, you're going to want to hear, I think, what Evan and I have to say about some of the gigantic contracts being handed out around the NBA. Devin Booker, if you missed it, just set a record for the highest annual average value for an NBA player, making over $72 million per year on average, We can talk about that. Plus, the OKC Thunder have signed their core three to gigantic extensions, all three of them. We got to talk about that. And next week is our All-Star Week prize blowout, and we have some incredible things to give away. Warriors prize packs, Giants prize packs, a day pass to Outside Lands, 4 day passes to Aftershocked, and gift cards to the Valkyries merch store and Laughing Monk Brewing. Listen at 7:30 in the morning, 12:30 in the afternoon, and 4:30 in the afternoon for your chance to win every single day next week. Again, every show, every day next week. It all starts on Monday. It's Willard and Dibs, Grandy and Evan with you. More next on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast!
Oh my God!
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Now back to Willard. Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
I will take it away, Steph, although it's not Mark Willard. It's Mark Grandy, along with Evan Giddings, in for Willard and Dibs today here on 95.7 The Game. Yeah, did you hear what Steph Curry said today?
Oh, yeah.
He said a couple of things today.
Yeah, he basically said, don't worry about Al.
Yeah?
Right?
Yeah. Our Warriors insider, Anthony Slater, who is currently up there in Tahoe, said a couple of things from Steph.
He's not very good at keeping a secret.
First, again, this is courtesy of Anthony Slater. He wrote on Twitter, Steph Curry out in Tahoe asked how long he plans to keep playing in the NBA. Steph says, I don't know. I'm just taking it 2 years at a time. That's what I have left on my contract right now. And then Slater also added this. Steph Curry asked about the idea of Al Horford joining the Warriors. And Steph said, quote, he's a champion, great player. When all that stuff happens, I'll talk about it. So maybe a little slip of the tongue there. Do the Warriors have a handshake agreement in place with Al Horford? And the only thing that's awaiting is a Kuminga resolution, and then Al Horford will put pen to paper and officially become a Warrior?
Well, I'm going to be honest. They better have a handshake agreement. I mean, seriously, if they don't sign Al Horford, or this thing with Valanciunas goes off the deep end and Denver somehow gets Horford, like, what are you left with? That's where free
Chris
agency
Boucher.
Is. Okay. Yeah. Chris Boucher, Warriors legend. No, the Warriors, this is what they've been resigned to. Like, they need Al Horford. And so I, for one, was relieved to hear Steph say, or slip, it sounds like, that Horford's going to be a Warrior at some point. It's just a matter of time. And it's because they don't have another option at this point.
Yeah, so again, essentially, Steph, when talking about Al Horford, began to say, when that stuff happens, as in Horford signing, and then he corrected himself and said, if, when all that happens. But perhaps he slipped up, and maybe he gave us all a little look into the Warriors' offseason plans. But that's, I mean, I'm of the belief, Evan, and this might also go for D'Anthony Melton, and maybe the Melton one is more reliant on the Warriors not having Kuminga's services anymore. But I'm of the belief that, assuming that they can make the money work under the first apron or whatever the number is, those two deals are just kind of awaiting a resolution from Kuminga. That's my read. I don't have inside information, but that's my read on the situation. I would venture to guess that a Horford and Melton transaction quickly follows the Kuminga resolution. Whenever that happens, I think they'll follow pretty quickly right after.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so, because I think at this point, that might be the best case scenario. Now, I know that, and we might get into it, that Monty Poole said something a little interesting on the, was it Warriors Talk podcast from NBC Sports Bay Area?
He was on with Willard and Dibbs and kind of talked about it, and then he wrote a piece on NBC Sports Bay Area about the lack of interest the Warriors showed in DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So I know he also talked about it on a podcast, and he essentially said if they don't get something done in free agency, let's say with like Horford or Melton, that he feels or has heard from people that a trade is something that he would consider to be on the table.
Oh, I didn't see this. A trade for what?
He didn't say. Which is why I don't know if I buy it necessarily, but I do think that the Warriors are, like, the whole reason why Horford and Melton are, you know, potentially sitting there, it's because it's like, I think they're still exhausting their options, and they're trying to figure out if there's a market, which right now doesn't appear to be one for Kuminga, but sometimes teams change their mind. And so one of the benefits of not getting this deal done quickly is you allow other teams to maybe renege on their previous positions. And as you get closer to the year and you see teams that aren't quote-unquote interested in JK suddenly find interest in him as we move closer to the time where you got to get him in. And I think that might be what he's referring to, but I thought it was interesting. Like, he was on with him and Bonte host a podcast.
Yeah.
And he basically was saying, which I was surprised to hear from Monty considering his conversation with you guys a couple days ago, was, you know, wouldn't count the Warriors out of a running for a potential trade.
And that was, again, if Horford and or Melton fall through.
Yep.
Huh. But the, I feel like him saying that is something beyond a Kuminga trade, because the Kuminga trade, while maybe not necessarily the most likely outcome, is the most discussed topic of the NBA offseason.
Could be. Yeah, I think that Moody's a potential trade candidate, and they have other players they might be able to stack. I don't know. It's, you know, I think the Warriors are kind of stuck right now, but it's like you're looking around and seeing all these big contracts being given out and these players that are being rewarded for deals, and the Warriors are still, yeah, I think, the only team that have not made a move this summer.
They have not. The only team in the entire NBA. 29 other teams, they've all made at least one move.
Yeah, the Pacers were the other team that hadn't made a move until a couple days ago. They traded for Jay Huff.
Oh, from the Grizzlies.
Yes.
Big man. The Miles Turner replacement.
Best center on the Grizzlies.
Better than Jaren Jackson Jr.?
He's not their center. That's Zach Edey.
Better than, well, Jay Huff's not better than Zach Edey.
I don't like Zach Edey. I do not like him at all.
The other interesting thing that Monty Poole wrote about, and I think he also discussed this on the Warriors Talk podcast, all this, of course, on NBC Sports Bay Area, where Monty does a great job covering the Warriors. He discussed the Warriors' lack of interest in DeAndre Ayton, and he, in trying to find a reason for the Warriors' refusal to even kick the tires on Ayton, not necessarily like actually go out and sign him, because monetarily it would have been difficult for them to offer as much money as the Lakers did, but just not even kicking the tires on DeAndre Ayton, Monty was left confused. And again, I'm going to read a portion of this story to you. Monty wrote, "The Warriors, according to multiple league sources, were not among the teams that lined up to gauge Ayton's interest, despite some reports stating otherwise." So Monty goes through this whole article trying to figure out why. Why are you not even kicking the tires? And this is how Monty begins his story. Quote, "There was a time when the Warriors so trusted their culture, they would bet on it. Confident in feel-good vibes, largely arranged by Steve Kerr and Stephen Curry, they were willing to gamble on a player whose, quote, red flags might deter others." And then he runs through JaVale McGee and Nick Young and DeMarcus Cousins. I would even throw in someone like Kelly Oubre in there. He also mentions Andrew Wiggins, although those were not necessarily like off-court red flags. And then Monty writes, quote, "which brings us to DeAndre Ayton and whether Golden State still believes in its culture." You think the Warriors believe less in their culture, and that might be a reason why they were not interested in going after DeAndre Ayton, or at least gauging his interest in joining the Warriors?
No, because Jimmy Butler's on the team. I think if, like, clearly they believe that their culture.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Sure was good enough to handle Jimmy Butler, who, unlike Rafael Devers, a lot of people have said bad things about. It's not a front office versus the player type of deal. Like, there's, when he went back to Miami, his teammates were not happy to see him. Like, so I don't think the Warriors distrust their culture. The Aiden thing to me is very specific. And all those guys you mentioned and Monty talked about, I hear him, and Monty's awesome. But none of those players quit on their team. And that's something DeAndre Ayton has done. So the moment that you refuse to go into a playoff game, an elimination playoff game, because you're unhappy with the head coach, what I'm referring to is the 2022 Western Conference semifinals against the Mavericks. The Suns and DeAndre Ayton coming off a run to the championship, get to game seven, COVID gate happens, right? But they lose on their home floor and get waxed. During that game, DeAndre Ayton was asked to go in, and he refused. Monty Williams and he famously have not seen eye to eye. That's when they get rid of Ayton. My point is, he quit. He quit on his team in a game where they needed him. And that's not something that to me is like repairable by culture. I do look at DeAndre Ayton completely differently after that matter.
I mean, Jimmy Butler also quit on his team.
Not in a playoff game. Not when winning was on the line. He quit on his team when money was on the line in the regular season, but he did not say, I'm not going to play because I'm unhappy in a playoff game.
The DeAndre Ayton refused to go in when what? They were down by like 40 points?
Whatever the score was at halftime, yeah.
Down gigantic, whatever that number
and
was.
And this isn't like a Scottie Pippen situation where the play wasn't drawn up for him, and then I think it was like the 94 playoffs or something.
Year. Yeah.
And then Kukoc hits the half-court shot and they win. It wasn't like one of those situations where he was mad about one play. Like, he refused to go in the entire half.
And the book on Ayton has been, like, concerns about motor and drive and effort. And you go and you watch a Portland Trailblazers game this past year, or even as you're talking about past when he was with the Phoenix Suns. It's, you know, not boxing out his guy and kind of just hanging out under the basket and letting your opponent get an offensive rebound and an easy putback, and he's just kind of hanging out. So those have always been concerns. There is no doubt, though, Evan, that DeAndre Ayton, and I'm not saying the Warriors are going to regret not having DeAndre Ayton on their team. It does seem a little curious, though, to at least not gauge interest and to kick the tires and just see, is there a chance that this guy wants to come here, and would he maybe take less to be here than elsewhere? And the answer is very likely no. But the fact that it wasn't even a topic of conversation, or they weren't even interested in seeing any potential interest, does seem a little strange to me, because he does check boxes for the Warriors. He's not your prototypical big man. He's not a great rim defender, but you need a 7-footer, and he's not a 3-point shooter, but he's got a mid-range on him. Like, he does fill a need the Warriors desperately need. Like, he would play major minutes and help this team, in my opinion.
Ayton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, like, outside of the culture stuff, I hear it, but I just don't think he's the kind of player that, I don't know, I mean, by the end of the season in Portland, he was, like Klingon was clearly a better option for them. I also just, there's something about a player who is told that the team who they're contractually obligated to play for does not want you.
It's a big deal.
It is. And that's why I think by midseason next year, when the Lakers are probably sputtering, or, you know, an up and down team, because that's what they were last year, that DeAndre Ayton's going to be the scapegoat.
I found what Monty wrote about more interesting in the sense of just talking about the Warriors culture as opposed to DeAndre Ayton specifically, because again, I could see how DeAndre Ayton would fit here. But Monty Poole, who's with the Warriors every game and is in that clubhouse and knows the team as well as almost anybody else out there, the fact that he's even bringing up, again, the quote was, whether Golden State still believes in its culture. And I know you throw out Jimmy Butler as an example to show, yes, they do. That to me just feels like you give Jimmy money and he's going to be okay with the situation. Like, that just seems to be the kind of player that Jimmy is. I don't know if that's a major test of your team's culture as long as he has the money that he wants. You threw out before we were on the air, well, what happens when Jimmy Butler wants another contract? And how does that play out there? That might be the real test of the Warriors' culture. But, I mean, Kevon Looney's gone, and Steve Kerr said multiple times he's this team's moral compass. And that's a big part of the team's culture. Now, obviously, Steph is a gigantic part of this team's culture as well. I don't know how outsiders view Draymond Green's role in terms of a culture builder in the Warriors' locker room, but there's clearly some doubts in terms of his leadership style or technique. And you get to a point where the Warriors just are not the dominant team that they once were. You got to ask yourself, are they even good enough anymore to put up with a potential culture clash? Because in the times when they were bringing in, you know, JaVale McGee and Nick Young and DeMarcus Cousins, they were the best team in basketball. And you could deal with some of those problems, if you want to call it that, because ain't no big deal. We got Kevin Durant, we got Steph, we got Clay, we got Dre, and we got Iguodala. We'll figure this thing out, and you can't possibly be upset because guess what? We're winning 60 games every single year no matter what. You're going to have to fall in line. But now you're in a situation this year or now the last couple of years where you're not as dominant, and you need potentially to take those chances on some of the others in order to help you get the number of wins that you need. I don't know. The Warriors' culture might not be quite as robust as it once was, and they might not have the ability to put up with some of those other things, considering they're not as dominant as they once were.
Yeah, I mean, I think your culture is as good as your best player, and that's still Steph Curry. But, I mean, they literally told us that they were willing to trade culture for talent last year when they traded Wiggins. You know, Wiggins is a product of that culture. He's someone who's completely reformed his career in Golden State. And they traded him because they weren't very good. Like, it didn't matter how good the culture was. And, you know, I think it was interesting that last year it didn't matter how bad things got on the court. That was a team that was together. They really liked each other. I think the glue of the team is probably Buddy Hield. But the problem was not in the locker room. Nobody had seeds of distrust and nobody didn't like each other. They just weren't very good. So I don't know if that's the Warriors don't trust their culture, but in my opinion, I don't think that Ayton is a player that's good enough to potentially damage it. And maybe that's why they decided not to kick the tires. Like, I realize, and people say, oh, we'd be lucky to have Ayton. Would you? Like, did the Portland Trailblazers just feel lucky to get DeAndre Ayton? I don't think the Suns felt unlucky to let him go. I don't think the Lakers feel lucky to have him.
Apparently
they just
LeBron,
needed a big.
Apparently LeBron hasn't even said hi to him yet.
Yeah, well,
shot him a text.
It's more of a LeBron thing. I think Luka Doncic did reach out to him. But yeah, like, to me, DeAndre Ayton is not a good enough player, especially if you think that you're going to get Al Horford in here to potentially mess with your locker room. Like, I don't know. Like, Jimmy Butler's someone that you can risk your locker room for because he's a really good player and has won at every single stop in his career. Now, he leaves that place in a pile of ash, but that's the risk the Warriors are willing to take. You willing to take that for DeAndre Ayton? I'm not. Maybe that's kind of the way that I feel about the situation, but the question about the culture is fair from Monty. Like, do they trust it anymore? You know, I think they do. Because Steph Curry is still the leader of that team.
Apparently we have some sound. Oh, no. is this on Cowherd? This is on the Herd. Jason McIntyre, Collins number two. On DeAndre. Oh, no. This is not good. Here it is. Jason McIntyre on DeAndre Ayton.
The Lakers made a big splash here in the last week, picking up DeAndre Ayton. And I know a lot of people instantly poo-pooed this deal as, this is no big deal. Ayton's a malcontent. He would come out of games and slam chairs down. He'd be late to rehab. This is how much DeAndre Ayton hated it in Portland. He forfeited $10 million to get out of town. Let's just say DeAndre Ayton through his first seven seasons is kind of sort of a top eight center in the league. I mean, listen, look at these stats right here. 15 and 10 and 50% shooting in the last seven seasons. Jokic is a MVP. Giannis is an MVP. AD's all NBA. Joel Embiid has an MVP. These are all great players. DeAndre Ayton's in that class with them. He just obviously was in Portland, so nobody paid attention.
Oh, God.
All right.
Look.
Thanks, Luke.
I am
Vice President of Hate.
I am the first one to openly admit that I think DeAndre Ayton would play a lot of minutes on the Warriors and could help them, but saying that he's on the same level as Jokic and Giannis and Anthony Davis and a healthy Joel Embiid, that might be the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
DeAndre Ayton compared to the... DeAndre Ayton couldn't carry Nikola Jokic's jock. That guy stinks. They do not belong in the same conversation.
Oh.
And I really don't care about these so-called numbers. Chet Holmgren just got rewarded with a $250 million contract for averaging 15 and 8 or 14 and 9. Like, but he's a winning player. That's the difference. I don't care if you grab 10 rebounds a game if your team is awful. It's the same conversation we're having with all of these guys, and I'll say it, Jonathan Kuminga, about numbers that do not contribute to winning basketball. DeAndre Ayton was on a team with Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges, Devin Booker, Cam Johnson. He was drafted to a situation that eventually got them to a point where they were challenging for a championship. DeAndre Ayton has not, since he's left, done anything in my mind to change what I believe him to be, which is a solid double-double center that's going to help a 500 basketball team stay 500. And you know what? Yeah, he forfeited $10 million because Portland probably told him to take a hike. Why would Portland want him there? They would rather bring in a 35-year-old Drew Holiday and pay him a bunch of money that's going to age horribly than pay DeAndre Ayton $36 million for one more season. One more year of his deal. They told him to kick rocks. That is irrelevant to me, and that might be one of the worst takes that I've ever heard.
And all those sons that you mentioned, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, all those guys, and DeAndre Ayton was like fifth fiddle to all of them. Like, those other guys all had bigger impacts on that team that went to the finals than DeAndre Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton is a really good player if you like watching seven-footers take 17-footers. He posts up at the elbow, jab step, jump shot, jog back on defense, let his man go by him, and pray to God that it falls off the rim so that he can grab a meaningless rebound. That's DeAndre Ayton.
Empty stats in Portland, for sure. There's no doubt.
Again, a rookie was better than him right out of college.
Well, Portland also has, like, different... They're not necessarily terribly interested in being, like, as good of a basketball team as quick as humanly
Neither
possible.
Neither is he.
True. But, like, the goal of, say, the Lakers or the Warriors versus the goal of the Blazers are different things. Like, they're probably more interested in developing Donovan Klingon. They're entering his second year big man as opposed to playing DeAndre Ayton, even if they felt that Ayton might be a slightly better player. Like, it's not as if they think Ayton is totally worthless, but where they are as a franchise, they're like, all right, it's better if you just leave and we will pay you to leave.
Yeah, and he's going to go to Los Angeles, and I can see it now. You get around the deadline, and the Lakers are, you know, maybe a little bit above 500 because they still have, I think, two good talents in Doncic and James at his age. And people are going to be saying, what's the problem with the Lakers? And everyone's going to point to DeAndre Ayton. Jackson Hayes, if he's worth half a salt, is going to play more than he does with Doncic because Doncic is going to hate a center that demands the ball. Because that means that there has to be more than one basketball in the court. And that ball is reserved for Luka Doncic or LeBron James.
You think Jackson Hayes is going to play more than Ayton, huh? We'll find out.
If Ayton plays the way he played in Portland, yeah.
We got to take a break. When we come back, there's also some other Steph Curry comments that I want to make sure we get to you. Plus, I don't know if you guys saw today and yesterday, more absolutely gigantic contracts being handed out by NBA teams. And considering all the hand-wringing about the new CBA and what the Warriors are going through with Jonathan Kuminga right now, who the hell has money for this? And are these smart decisions by these teams handing out these gigantic deals? We can talk about that and a whole lot more. Always time for your calls and your texts. 888-957-9570. It's Mark, Randy, and Evan Giddings with you. We're on Willard and Dibs, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More coming up next right here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.